Penguin Random House Audio presents Hidden Pick Before You Feel Ready and to make more mistakes than others make attempts. The best way to accelerate growth is to embrace, seek, and amplify discomfort. Going out of style. There's a popular practice in schools that has dissuaded many learners from seeking discomfort. It arose as a well-intentioned solution to a pervasive problem in the American education system. For decades, many schools were run like assembly lines in a factory. Students were treated as interchangeable parts in the mass production of young minds. Despite having different strengths, they were stuck absorbing uniform knowledge through the same standardized lessons and lectures. In the 1970s, a new wave of thinking upended the world of education. The core premise was that when students struggled, it was because the method of instruction wasn't tailored to their learning style, the cognitive mode in which they were best at acquiring and retaining information. To grasp new concepts, verbal learners needed to read and write them. Visual learners needed to see them illustrated in images, diagrams, and charts. Auditory learners needed to hear them out loud. And kinesthetic learners needed to experience them through acting them out with body movements. The theory of learning styles exploded in popularity. Parents were thrilled that their children were being recognized for their individuality. Teachers loved having the freedom to vary their methods and personalize their material. Today, learning styles are a foundational element of teacher training and student experience. Around the world, 89% of teachers believe in matching their instruction to students' learning styles. Many students have told me they prefer podcasts to books because they're auditory learners. Is that why you're listening to this book in audio? There's just one small problem with learning styles. They're a myth. When a team of experts conducted a comprehensive review of several decades of research on learning styles, they found an alarming lack of support for the theory. In controlled experiments with specific lessons and longitudinal studies over the course of a semester, students and adults didn't do any better on tests when their teachers or study habits aligned with their abilities or their preferences. There is no adequate evidence base to justify incorporating learning styles assessments into general educational practice, the researchers conclude. The contrast between the enormous popularity of the learning styles approach within education and the lack of credible evidence for its utility is striking and disturbing. We don't want to go back to the rigid factory model of learning, but people shouldn't be pigeonholed in a rigid learning style either. Of course, you might still have a preferred style of acquiring new knowledge and skills. What we know now is that your preference isn't fixed, and playing only to your strengths deprives you of the opportunity to improve on your weaknesses. The way you like to learn is what makes you comfortable, but it isn't necessarily how you learn best. Sometimes you even learn better in the mode that makes you the most uncomfortable, because you have to work harder at it. This is the first form of courage, being brave enough to embrace discomfort and throw your learning style out the window. One of the best examples I've seen is in comedy. When Steve Martin first started doing stand-up performances in the 1960s, he bombed over and over. During one show, a heckler actually stood up and threw a glass of red wine at him. As Steve told me on my podcast,
I loved comedy. That was the only thing natural about it. But how you do it, I had no insight, no nothing.
His early critics agreed. One wrote that he was the most serious booking error in the history of Los Angeles. If you think about how great performers master their craft, it seems natural that they would learn through listening, watching, and doing. That's what Steve did. He would listen to other people's material, watch their mannerisms, mix in some of his own stories, and practice delivering the concoction. Despite pouring countless hours into preparing for them, his performances were lackluster. One night, he went 5 minutes without a single laugh, and another 5 minutes, and another. As he sweated on stage, there wasn't even a chuckle for 20 straight minutes. Watching, listening, and doing weren't enough to drive his growth. The one approach to comedy that Steve had written off was writing. It wasn't his style. He hated writing because it didn't come naturally to him. It was hard, so hard. If you feel that way about writing too, you're not alone. Even some of the best writers I know will do almost anything to put off writing. As Steve Martin joked, writer's block is a fancy term made up by whiners so they can have an excuse to drink alcohol.